Well, let's go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles and if you're tracking along, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at the first 18 verses or so this morning. This is a more familiar text from the Old Testament, and it's something that is just, you know, even putting some ideas and notes together, it's just such a heavy topic and just such a so rich in symbolism for what Jesus did for us and everything, but it is just a sobering reminder of what it means to walk by faith and to have a faith that has steel in it. I know that I've been called a little bit of a throwback with the way I teach. I don't really think it's like that. But one of the reasons why I like to teach verse by verse through books of the Bible and to really, as we say, have a high view of God is because it does us little good to have cotton candy supporting our faith. Because inevitably, storms are going to come, trials are going to come, tests are going to come. And we want to have a faith that has steel in it. And that is the faith that will carry us through. That's the faith that we see Abraham with this morning. So Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Let's go ahead and just, let's pray quickly and then we'll jump into our message for this morning. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the children that are here and for the people that you have drawn here this morning. Lord, we know that there's a number of our church family not feeling well this morning. Lord, you know everything that they're going through. We do ask for a healing touch just to be with them. Father God, for other parts of our church that couldn't be with us this morning, Lord, bless them and be with them. Lord, for the parts of our church that are not even a part of us yet, Lord, you know who those people are. We just pray that you would bless them. And Lord, our desire is to reach people and to glorify you, to know you and to make you known. So God, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that we would rejoice in the truth of your word, even when things are difficult to always get our mind around. Lord, we thank you that you are so vast. You are so great. You are so awesome. You are so high that we can never possibly fully understand. But Lord, I pray that you would just give each of us eyes to see and ears to hear from your word this morning. And Lord God, we just lift this up to you. The remainder of this service, we lift up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'll recall that Abraham has been waiting for 25 years for the promise to come, for it to finally take root, for it to finally come to pass, this promised child that was going to come through his line and through this seed, the entire world will be blessed. Nations will be blessed. Kings will come from his family. And we know as we navigate through God's word that all of those promises are found in Jesus and they are actualized in Christ. And yet, after 25 years, last week we looked at, you know, that promise coming to pass. Isaac was born. Now we kind of fast forward a few years into the future. We know this has to be a few years into the future because what we're going to see with Isaac, he's not a toddler. He's old enough to ask questions. He's old enough to do some of the things that we're going to see happening here today. So we fast forward a few years down the road to where we're at this morning in this great foreshadowing of what Jesus did for us and what the Father did for us ultimately in sacrificing his one and only Son. Genesis 22:1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Mount Moriah is Mount Zion. Mount Zion, Mount Moriah is where the temple will be built. This is a very significant place that God's saying, I want you to go and I want you to take your only begotten son, the son that you love, the son that you cherish, the son that holds all the promises. I want you to go where eventually the temple will be built, the temple mount. Mount Zion, Mount Moriah. These are generally the same places. This is not the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on. It's not far from it. I've heard people say that, but that's not totally accurate. But it's not super far from it. This is where, remember, David wants to build a temple, and God says, you're a man of war. There's too much blood on your hands, but your son Solomon can build a temple. That'll be in the future. That'll be down the road. Abraham is called to go to Moriah, offer your son as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Could you imagine? Could you imagine after waiting, after the trials, after the ups, after the downs, after for 25 years, what exactly does this mean? I'm going to have a son, and that son is going to have children, and those children are going to bless the entire world one of these days. Somehow, Abraham didn't know everything that we know. And then God brings him to a series of tests. And you need to understand something, that obviously this is a test that we, you know, can't really relate to. But this is a running theme throughout God's word, is that he will bring those who he loves through tests, so that he can make us like his son. There's a lot of reasons for that we'll get to in a minute, but do not think that if you are being corrected, that you are unloved. You are loved. If you are being tested, you are not being unloved. You are being loved. And I said this last week. It's not that we go out of our way to be tested. It's not that we go out of our way to find trials. It's not that we go out of our way to find difficulties. It is that we live in a place where it is sure to come. These tests are for every one of us. We read about this throughout God's word. We're going to look at a couple of places here briefly, and then later on here in a few minutes, another place. Psalm 26:2. David, prove me, O Lord. Test me, O Lord, some of your translations will say. Prove me, test me, O Lord. Try me, test my heart and my mind. Did King David know about tests? See, he had a similar promise made to him. You're going to be the king of Israel. Not the first king, but you are going to be the king that through your line is going to usher in the great king, Jesus. David is Jesus's great, 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 great Ewok. If I figure out how many greats, but for, you know, about 1,000 years worth of greats. So maybe, I don't know. Ewok could probably figure that out. Grandfather. That's when you trace Jesus' earthly family, they go straight through the line of David. And David knew about his faith being tested. David knew about trials. David had to do the same thing where, I know God has given me promises. I know that he has given me a calling. I know that he has told me that I am going to lead his people, and that through my line, the Messiah will come. There's going to be a greater king than me. So I have to believe as I'm hiding from Saul. I have to believe as I am on the run. I have to believe as I am living this life. That one time David had to act insane to cover up who he was and to hide from Saul, and all of these things, living on the run, living as almost a fugitive from King Saul. David knew what that was all about. And even in the midst of this, David says, prove me, God. I want to know that I believe the things that I say I believe. I want to know that I am really with you. I want to know that I am really a follower of God. I want to know that I am a Christian. I want to know that this is real. I want to know that as the storms come in my life, whether it's an illness, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a relational issue, I would never know if I believe these things if I didn't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
It's true.
And I'm not happy about it. I'm not like, yes, having some more financial problems. This is awesome. Or I'm having a fight with somebody in my family again. Yes, this is awesome. No, of course not. But we can rejoice like David. In knowing that as I am slighted, I can know that even though it may not be perfect, even though it may not be everything that it should be, I know that I can forgive. I know that I can be a forgiving person. I know that I can overcome through trials, through Christ. I know that as I sing that He is a way maker. He is a way maker. How do I know that He's a way maker? Well, the way has not always been easy. Pun a little bit intended. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. The whole nation of Israel is kind of on the other end. I mean, you got Abraham and then you got Jeremiah. Jeremiah is watching the nation about to get destroyed because they would not worship God. They would not turn back to God. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. God allows tests to come. God allows trials to come so that we can be drawn closer to God. How often do we pray when we feel good? But I don't know how you are, but if I'm not feeling good, I start to pray. If I've got plenty of resources and things are going great, I sometimes forget to lean into God. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
But when God is all you have, and you're going through those trials, like Abraham here, sacrifice your only son. God loves to add those details because He's foreshadowing what He would do. You know that only son, Isaac, the only one that has this promise, the only one that you are focused on, the only one that is living with you, the only one that is the apple of your eye, I want you to sacrifice him. God leads us through trials. Again, to prove if we truly believe the things we believe, the things that we say we believe. We don't talk like that anymore. We read the Bible and say, this is my roadmap to prosperity. This is my roadmap to the easy life. I can tell you the godliest humans that have ever lived would tell you that is not the case. God is making us more like Jesus as we go through the highs and the lows. We go through trials to draw closer to God. We go through trials and are led through seasons of testing like Abraham here to make sure that you believe the things that you say you believe in, me too, and as a testimony to others. There's hardly a more pure form of worship than when you can say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just as we move on, I just want to ask you, what are you holding on to? What tests are you going through? What are you supposed to be learning as you go through that right now? Abraham passes this test because he knows God, because he's walking with God, because he has his faith in God, imperfect as it was, imperfect as it is for us. And I want you to just assess your life and think, man, what am I supposed to be learning right now? As you scrub it against the Bible, read the Word of God, even if it's just a chapter a day or even a passage a day, what am I supposed to be learning? How am I being made more like Jesus through this? Genesis 22:3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering. Abraham cut the wood. This is a wealthy man. This is a guy with options. This is a guy with servants that he can say, hey, I want you to come with me. Hey, I want you to cut the wood. Oh, not when you go through a trial like this. Abraham says, give me the axe. I want you to just go. Go get some water. Go do something. I got to do this. Why? That's, I don't know what he would. He probably just had so much going through his mind, processing nervous energy or what. I don't know. But he says, I can't even let you do that. I got to cut this wood. This is real. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. This is huge. If you read this too quick, you'll miss it. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you again and come again to you. Now God said, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. Abraham right here says, guys, listen. He sees from afar something he could not have possibly known, but this is where the temple is going to be built. This is where all the sin offerings are going to go down in time. Solomon's temple and the temple of Jesus' day. It's no longer there anymore. There's a Muslim temple there now called the Dome of the Rock. And not, there's a lot of good rabbit trails to go down, but for just to let you know, that I believe God allowed them to build the temple to make sure it never gets rebuilt. Yeah. Ever.
It's true.
And I have a lot of friends that disagree with me on that, but that temple is never going to be rebuilt. Jesus is the temple.
Hallelujah.
And
Hallelujah.
We are the precious stones.
Yes.
You and I, Christians. Yes, me, you. That he's placing as the great temple that is going to go throughout the entire world one of these days. Just like he told Adam, go and subdue the earth, all of it. Jesus is the cornerstone. Anyways, Abraham looks and he says to the guys, listen. Now in his mind he's thinking, I got to sacrifice my son. But he also tells these folks, me and the boy will also be coming right back. So you guys stay here. That's a man of faith. No hesitation in Abraham. No hesitation in him whatsoever. Again, let's read it. God drops a hammer on Abraham. But he's been walking with God now for 25 years. Imperfectly as he does it. Again, does that hopefully that resonates with you. And he says, I don't understand it. I don't know what God is going to do with it. It doesn't make sense. This God, our God, isn't a God of human sacrifice. In another part of the Word of God, God says, that never even came into my mind for people to sacrifice human beings. This is not the way. God is testing Abraham. And what does Abraham do? And what can we learn from Abraham's example? That he is given this test. This test in our minds, it would blow our minds. And Abraham rose early in the morning. He says, I'm not going to delay this. I'm not going to kick the can down the road. I'm not going to start asking people, what do you think? What's your interpretation of the Word of God? I mean, I don't know how else you can really interpret that. I want you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac. I want you to offer him on Mount Moriah. Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. Abraham leans into this and says, if God is leading me to this, why delay it? Why act like Jonah? When God tells you to do something, we've got to do it. And we may as well do it with joy. We may as well do it with energy. We may as well do it as an act of worship. Because he is God.
Yes.
We do what he says to do. And we get up early in the morning. Now, some of you are morning people, and some of you are like me. I get up in the morning because I kind of have to. Some of you are total night owls. I used to be more like that. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I like my 9 to 5. Some of you go, oh man, you have to work till 5, but I don't have to be there till 9. That's the good thing. Abraham says, let's just go. This is faith. I don't see it. I don't know it. I don't understand it. I can't figure it all out. I don't have all the answers, but I do have this answer. He is God. He loves me. He has made promises to me. He is not a liar. He is who I'm after, not things. There's not a line in this text about how Abraham felt. Not one line. And it's not because when we look back thousands of years that he didn't have feelings just like you and me. He did have feelings. He did love his children. It did bother him to send Ishmael away. We talked about that last week. I think it was last week. Abraham did have emotions. But you cannot let your emotions govern your life. This life is not about you. You won't hardly hear a preacher tell you that anymore. It is not about us. And when we come to the realization that he must increase, I must decrease, that is not poetry. He is to be exalted. He is his promises, his word. This is how I make my decisions, not how I feel. Not what makes me feel good, but what will exalt his holy name. What will bring worship and honor to his name. Last week we looked at God led Abraham to give up another one of his sons. And we talked about that last week. We don't really even have time to get through all this, let alone go back too far. But he gave up Ishmael because the promise and the flesh, the spirit and the flesh, the promise and the law, they can never coexist. So we had a little bit of, you know, and God made promises to Ishmael and to Hagar, and they walked in faith. We looked at that last week. Abraham could give him his son up that way, but Isaac, to sacrifice him, his son, his only son, to shed his blood, to put him on an altar. God was preparing Abraham for that trial. Now, Abraham says, you guys go, stay here, me and the boy, we're going to come over here and we're going to worship. We're going to come over here and worship. This is the first use of the word worship in reference to God in the Bible. We're going to come over here where in the future, down the road, the temple is going to be built. The central location where people came to get right with God, to worship God, to deal with their sins. The temple, which is a symbol of Jesus Christ, who is our Holy of Holies, who gives us access to the Holy of Holies, that will one day, that's what you're doing. When I annoy you guys and send you messages during the week and say, invite your friends, bring them in, share Christ with them, it is because we have a commission to see the Holy of Holies expand from the temple. And one of these days, there's going to be a whole new heavens and a whole new earth, and the whole place will be the Holy of Holies, the intimate presence of God, and you play a part of that. That's why I bother you. Every week, usually about Thursday, I bother you, because you play a part of that.
Yes.
We're not building the way kingdom. We're building his kingdom. This is happening in churches across the city and across the country and across the world. We're not exclusive. We're not one of them weird people. I know we have the black hoodies and stuff, but oh, no, no, no. Listen to me. I'm also talking about your friends that don't live around here. Invite them to their church. You know, hey, go to church somewhere where you live. May not be close enough, obviously, to come here, but give them Christ. Abraham says, we're going to go worship. We're going to go kneel down is kind of what that means. You'll see that throughout the Bible. When they encounter the Lord, they will prostrate themselves. They will kneel before him. It's a position of worship. We see people doing that in the life of Christ over and over again. Kneeling before Jesus, bowing down before Jesus as a symbol of worship. We see Jesus doing something very similar in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not too far from where this is happening. So he goes in, and can you imagine Abraham saying, we're going to go worship. I'm going to go give my only son on an altar and shed his blood. But we're going to go worship. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane comes in and kneels down and starts to worship and starts to pray and starts to get near the heart of God. He kneels down and prays. Abraham's heart must have been in knots. If he went by how he felt, he would have said something like this: I can't do this. God is a God of forgiveness. This is what God, just, I'm throwing this in the bucket of, I didn't obey, just forgive it, and let's just go move on. Like, what else do you want me to do? But Abraham, he's walked with God too long to do that. He's walking by faith. Walking by faith, again, you don't know, you don't understand, you don't have all the answers, you don't know how God's going to do it, you don't know what God is has in front of you. You're walking by faith and not by sight. It took Abraham a long time. And again, he never did this perfectly. But he says, I know God. I don't understand what he's asking me to do. I don't understand why he would ask me. He's never asked anyone to do this. But Abraham walked with God long enough to know this. Hebrews 11:17. By faith. If you are not anchored in faith, you mean, nope, we will fail this one every time. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. It took Abraham 25 years. That is rock solid faith. That is a faith that has steel in it. That if God told me that he is going to bless the world through this little boy, that if God actually has me take his life, then God is going to raise him back from the dead. That is how much I believe in the promises of God. And the writer of Hebrews says it was by faith that he could walk like that. I want to tell you guys something, and I say it all the time, and it's not fancy, and it's not modern, and it's not probably, you know, something that we say nearly enough, but I am going to tell you until I am blue in the face, get in the book. Where does this faith come from? It does not come from self-help books or, by the way, self-help speeches, which is what we're fed too often as the body of Christ. We've tolerated that. You got to get in the book. Faith, the Bible says of itself, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. You see, Abraham had all kinds of the word of God running through his head, like, I want you to sacrifice your son. That doesn't make any sense. But he also had God's word. I have a promise for you. That boy is going to be used to reach this world for my kingdom. He's had all these things in his head, and it's because Abraham was feasting on the word of God, where our faith grows. If you do not resolve in your heart to get in the book, reading God's word. And I know I say this all the time because I've talked to so many people and I've been there. I don't even know what I'm reading. I don't understand it. There's so many words, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand it all. I will tell you again, you get in the book and you read. The Bible does not say of itself that faith comes by understanding. It says by hearing the words of God. Abraham didn't understand the words of God that were probably flowing through his mind. And by the way, understanding comes. You probably understand a whole lot more than you think. It's not about just reading and not trying to understand or letting the Holy Spirit work in you. But having it all figured out is not where your faith grows. To have a faith like Abraham right here, you must be people. We must be people that are reading the Word of God. If you don't have faith, Jesus essentially says you're like a house that's built on sand. Some of you are handy. And you know the importance of the foundation. I only know it because I sometimes watch little YouTube videos of like houses that fall during floods and stuff. Some of you have built those kinds of things or could. What's your foundation on? What is your foundation on? It has to be by faith, which comes from reading. Read God's word. Don't necessarily worry about understanding it all. I said this 1,000 times. Some of you already know what I'm going to say. If I put a bucket of sand up here and I had tiny little diamonds in there, but most of it's sand. Most of it is worthless sand. And if I told you, I want you to reach your hand in there and I want you just to grab and you get to keep. So some of you can retire maybe if you're really good. It's all mixed up in there. You would put your hand in there so fast and you would not be worried about all the stuff maybe that you missed because you're going to have life-giving treasure in your hand. Yes. That's the Bible. So read it. And God will bring understanding. This should be your prayer. Holy Spirit, I can't produce this fruit. I'm not called to produce it. I cannot produce it, but I can bear it. And you called me to bear it. You produce the fruit. You produce the understanding. You teach me all things as the Lord Jesus says you would. And I'm telling you, he will. Genesis 22:6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both went together. So both of them went together. Some of these passages preach themselves. You know, Abraham would have rather God said, Abraham, lay your own life down. You die. Wouldn't that be so much easier than to have your one, you know, your only begotten son, the son of the promises, the son that you've been promised and waiting for. I mean, that you know, that's unthinkable. You can almost imagine Abraham going, God, how about I just bargain with you a little bit? He can sacrifice me. But Abraham, again, is walking by faith. He's walking in obedience. Abraham lays the wood on his son. And they start walking up the hill together. What a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ did for us. God the Father loves the Son in a way that we will never understand. The way you love your children is a good illustration. It gets us started with that. And hopefully, although if you could skip the teen years, it sometimes makes it easier. Hopefully the way your kids love you back. It's for God to give us an idea of how much the Father loves the Son, which should magnify him sending his Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. A son that never sinned. A son that never did anything wrong. Isaac was a sinner. So as weird and kind of crazy as this whole thing is, Isaac was not the sinless son of God. Jesus was. And God is dropping what we call, I guess, Easter eggs. He's dropping foreshadowings of the great love that God has for you and your friends and this world. He's going to put the cross on Jesus. Thousands of years in the future, Jesus is going to march up that hill in obedience to his Father, as Isaac is doing here. More on that in a second. Genesis 22:7, and Isaac said, now this is huge, Genesis 22:7, Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Maybe again you can fast forward into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus crying out to his Father. Father, is there another way? Is there any other way to accomplish your will? Is there any other way to bring people back to God? Is there any other way? People love John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and rightfully so. But that's an undervalued passage, what I just told you there, because if there was another way to God outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, that would have happened right there in the garden. God would have said, of course there is. There was no other way. Jesus cried out to his Father. Isaac cries out to his Father. I see all the circumstances. I see the wood. I see the fire. Where is the lamb? How is this going to happen? What is going on? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. We see more foreshadowings of Christ. Because I'm imagining at this point, Isaac is starting to get the idea that, you know, we know that God is going to provide, but something very, very different is happening. Something very strange is happening. And because Isaac is watching his father, who has his eyes on God, Isaac says, I will be obedient to my father. Listen to me. Abraham was 100 years old when he had Isaac. So what are we? 15 years into the future? 10? I don't know how old Isaac was here. Let's say he was 10. Do you really think he had to listen to his dad? Do you really think that Isaac couldn't have ran away? Do you really think that Isaac had to go through with what was happening? Because it's going to go even further to where he's going to start getting tied up on the altar. Don't you think Isaac could have overpowered a 110-year-old man? These are real people. You know he could. Some of you have younger kids. We can't get them like we used to. My kids, I used to be able to get them really like that. I can't do that anymore. It's a little bit more of a business decision to go after them, make them listen and everything. That's why it's good to make them listen when they're younger, because they get to a point where they can just either overpower you or run away from you. Isaac is being obedient. We're going to look more at Isaac as we navigate further into the patriarchs series here. But he's foreshadowing Christ. Christ did not have to die. Christ did not have to go to the cross. Christ says, I lay my life down. Nobody takes it from me. He looks as he's on trial at Pilate and says, my kingdom is not of this world. You have no idea that everything that is happening to me, I'm allowing to happen. I could call down legions of angels that could end this like right now. And by the way, Jesus wouldn't have even needed them. Do you see the foreshadowings of Jesus through this entire story? Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't run away. Jesus didn't disobey. Isaac trusted God and was obedient to his father. Abraham, again, is walking in such faith that he knew that God was going to make a way. He didn't understand it all. This would have been a lot easier if God would have said, listen, I'm going to ask you to do this, but I'm not going to really go through with it. It's all just kind of a big foreshadowing. Just go with it. We'll freak Isaac out. Like, that would have been easier on Abraham, but that's not the way it went. This is faith. We talk a lot about faith. We're people of faith. We've came to Christ by grace through faith. We want to have faith that things will work out. We want to have faith that God will bring us into his eternal home. We want to have faith. This is faith in action here. Abraham was ready, willing, and able to do what God called him to do. He was ready to go all the way with this. And he knew that God would make a way. Even if he did go through with this, God is going to raise his son up. And we know that God does provide for himself this lamb that will take away the sins of the world. Abraham was prophetically speaking something, again, that he would not have been able to have all the details for, or probably hardly any. But God absolutely did exactly what Abraham said here. God will provide a lamb for himself. And that lamb is his only begotten son, a son that he loves. The Lamb of God, as John the Baptist says, that takes away the sin of the world. Genesis 22:9, and when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, that's all of us, by the way. We're all on that altar. Would have done nothing to say, I mean, as far as forgiveness or anything like that, we are all on a road to a sacrifice of death until God breaks in. That's all of us. Again, I know it's weird, it's strange, it's something God would never do again. But we all, that's all of our fate. Isaac almost just met it, you know, 50, 60, 80 years before he normally would have. We are all on an altar of death. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son. You see how God keeps repeating that? It's almost like, again, God is just foreshadowing what is to come. You did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. God brought Abraham to the edge. Abraham, for the rest of his life, will know. I believe the things that I say I believe. My trust is in God. And now, kind of coming through this, God will provide. God will make a way. God does keep his promises. And God is taking note of his obedience. And listen, I say this a lot. You guys are talking to a reformed preacher, a reformed pastor. We don't have time to get into all of that, but we love the sovereignty of God. Everything happens under the sovereign hand of God. I don't know how all that works, and if you do, you get to teach next week, because I don't know how all that works. But I can tell you that God also is looking at how you respond to him. God is also taking account of your obedience. God is also aware as you walk in faith. He was testing to see what Abraham would do. And he looked and he saw that, Abraham, you believe that I am going to keep my promises. You believe and have faith that my word is true. You believe and know that I am going to provide the ultimate lamb one of these days. Remember the Garden of Eden? The head of the serpent is going to be crushed by the seed of the woman. You believe those things. You believe those promises that I made to you. God is taking note. I want you guys to know this. Every time God tells us in His Word what He wants for His people, what worships His name, what exalts His name, what makes much of Jesus, He is looking down from heaven. He is rejoicing with you. That pleases our God when we say, "What is your will, O God?" And we do it, and we do it with joy, and we do it to the best of our capability. I'm not talking about earning your salvation. I'm talking about people that are already saved, that have already been saved, that already have salvation. Your obedience matters to God. Your obedience matters in this life. And that the reason why there should have been at least one amen there is because as we're walking through this life, there's all kinds of things that don't make sense to us sometimes. There's all kinds of things that maybe we would rather not do or rather do with our time or our money or whatever it is. And isn't it nice to know that our prayers rise before the throne of God as sweet-smelling incense? Isn't it good to know that your good works, while they do not save you, they shine glory unto God and encourage other people, according to Matthew chapter 5, to glorify our Father who is in heaven by seeing your good works?
Yes.
Isn't it nice to know that as we talk about God taking note of your faithfulness and your obedience, that there are rewards in heaven waiting for you? I don't know what all that means, but I am telling you that there are rewards for those that love Jesus Christ and obey His Word. And yes, we stumble. None of us do it perfectly, but there are rewards. In fact, God, in a manner of speaking, is going to have a big bonfire at Judgment Day. And everything that you've said and done, everything that we have said and done that is worthless, that doesn't mean anything, maybe not necessarily a sin, but just not, it's going to burn like chaff. But the things that were done for time and eternity to worship Him and to obey Him and to make much of Him like Abraham did here, you will be rewarded. I don't know what all that means. I can tell you your salvation is not included because that's not a reward. You can never earn that. You can never achieve that. That's a gift. So I just wanted there to be at least one amen. Because I'm not telling you to throw this life away and be bored and be confused and live less than and as if it doesn't matter. In fact, you'll find quite the opposite. As Jesus says, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I guess I kind of have to. I'm running out of time. Whoever loves this life will lose it. But whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So now that I just went too far ahead, I got to go back just for a second. We got to finish up. Abraham passes this test. You may have a test in your life, and if you don't have one now, you may have one coming. Maybe you're in a season of revival. Praise God. Don't be looking for problems. They'll find you. Don't be looking for them. If you walk with Jesus and just be obedient and do what He says to do, and love Him above all, and love people secondarily, the problems will find you. So don't go looking for them. And we can pass this test just like Abraham. Walking by faith. James 1, 2 and 3, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The testing of your faith is what puts steel in it. So when the winds come, when the rain comes, when the storms come, when the spiritual attacks come, when the enemy circles the wagons around you, you will not fall. You will not fall. And count it all joy as you're going through those trials. I know that is counterintuitive. That is not It just doesn't hardly make sense. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see that. And to believe that God is telling the truth, that this trial is not for no reason. Abraham, that's a trial of all trials, and it was not for any, just no reason. It was to draw Abraham to the heart of God. We should note that God does not ask us to do anything that he is not willing to do. Lay your life down. Die to this life.
Yes.
Abraham, give me your son. Why? I will give my only begotten son thousands of years in the future to go and go all the way. There was no stopping this. To go and bear the sins of the world to save his people from their sins. God doesn't really ask us to do anything that he's not willing to do. He laid it all out. I want to challenge you all. Lay your life out for Jesus. Follow him in faith.
Yes.
Obey him. You got to let go of this world. We have to let go of this life. I read it a second ago. Abraham lived these words out. Whoever loves his life loses it. Well, that's not some kind of a weird thing where you hurt yourself or do something stupid. It just means I am as good as dead to this world. The things that they value, I do not value. I am dead to this world. I do not love this world. I do not live for this world. I do not live for the God of this world. It does not satisfy me. I do not focus on it. It is not what sustains me. I am dead to this life. If Jesus doesn't want it, I don't want it. If Jesus wants it, I want it. If you lose it, if you love this life, you'll lose it. This is the closest to heaven we'll ever get. If Abraham would have followed God and then said, I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to follow you. I'm only going to do it when it's easy. You'll lose. This is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. But whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You've got to let it go. See, Abraham made that decision. He made some mistakes, as we saw, as we've navigated through this. But he died to this life. And he had his full faith in God. Abraham, verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Again, this is where the temple will be built. This happened for 1,500 years, a little more than that. So this is where the sacrificial system is going to be instituted. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Aren't you glad for the ram? Aren't you glad for the Lamb of God? As we look at our circumstances, we look at our only option is really ourself. I got to sacrifice myself for my sins. It's not good enough. Aren't you glad as Abraham looked and saw the ram? We look up and we see the Lamb of God. I hope that lights a fire in you. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be your own blood. It's not going to be the blood of Isaac. It's going to be the blood of a substitute. The Lamb of God. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. All of those promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. Abraham was tested and his faith had steel in it. He would not take his eyes off of God and the promises that God has made to him. because you have obeyed my voice. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's a great way to know if you're truly walking with Christ. Do you obey him? Do you love him? Do you disobey him? And again, I know what the enemy will say to you, one of two things. Oh, that's unrealistic. Or, yeah, you're disqualified. Take that off the table. I know that we're the ones that are saved. We are not perfect. Our faith is not always filled with steel in the infrastructure. We are secure because of him. But generally speaking, what does your life say to the world? What do our lives say to the world? Do we obey Jesus? Abraham walked in a faith of obedience, of action.